Well, the words we probably remember most at communion are the words of Jesus, where Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus compared God to a lot of different things. He compared God to a loving parent, not just a loving parent, but a perfect parent. And Jesus said, "At this table, when you do these things in remembrance of me, I want you to remember that God is your perfect and loving parent." In answer to the question that people have, who is God? What's the character of God? How can I know the virtue and the values of God? Jesus said, think of God as being your parent. And not just a loving parent, but a perfect parent. Well, we all think of our parents now. Think of your parent, your parents. I think of my parents. I think of my dad. Whenever I think of my dad, I smile. And I just realized this week, as I thought, every time I think about my dad, I smile. My dad was not perfect, that's for sure. He was a good guy, but he wasn't perfect. My dad had a condition where he fell asleep 5 or 6 times a day at any given moment. So he'd invite people over to our house, and they'd be sitting in the living room, and he'd fall asleep. And so they'd all leave the living room and go into the kitchen where my mom was, and she'd have to entertain them. Smile when I think about my dad. I think about driving through the Alps when we lived in Germany. My dad was in the military. He lived in Germany for 3 years. When you live in Europe, you can go to all kinds of different countries. It's like an hour or two drive. And once we were driving through the Alps, the Swiss Alps, and a blizzard came up, a whiteout. And my dad stopped our VW van, got out. He put chains on the tires. And then he got back in and said, "We're good to go," and off we went. And I wasn't frightened at all. I trusted him. I mean, maybe I should have been, but I trusted my dad. When I think of my parents, here's what rises to the top. I think of two people who I trusted with everything that I am and everything that I had. And Jesus said, that's how I want you to think about who God is. That's what I want you to remember when you come to this table. And you say, do these things in remembrance of me. I want you to remember that. More than any other image I give you of who God is, I want you to think of God as that parent who you can trust with anything. And then 30 years later, I'm driving in my van from London to Meaford. And my kids are in the back seat. They were just little then. And we fell into a blizzard. It was a complete whiteout. And I was frightened driving, and in the back seat, they were just sleeping. They had no fear. And I realized as I drove, it's because they trusted me. That is their parent. My parents bought a cottage when we were little. And they talked about this cottage, and we were so excited about this cottage north of Kingston. And then we got there, and what we saw was a ramshackle shack that looked like moonshine might have been made in it at one point. And we were like, this is the cottage, and there were thistles and weeds all around, no green lawn, no volleyball net. My dad said, it's beside a lake. Well, it was beside a lake, but the lake was over here, and the cottage was here, and in between was a steep hill of jagged rock. Way to go, Dad. Mom can't even get down to the water. But they both said, we have a vision for this cottage. Do you trust our vision? We are just kids. It looks kind of bleak at this point, Mom and Dad, but... And within 2 years, it was entirely transformed. And we realized that they just wanted to us to trust them. I'm your parent. Will you trust me? I know. I know. It reminds me so much of Jesus when he and the tailor were sleeping in the back of my van. Through a whiteout, through something that they should have been afraid of. It reminds me of that story of Jesus sleeping in the stern of the boat. In the middle of a storm, and the disciples are, Jesus is sleeping. Well, Jesus was sleeping because he trusted who God is. And so they woke him up, and he said, why are you so afraid? And so when you're in the middle of a whiteout, this is what this table reminds us of. When you're caught in a storm, or when you're in those times of your life where you're living here and the sparkling water that can restore you and give you a new life is over here and you can't get to it because there's a steep hill of jagged rock and you just can't access that sparkling, clean, life-restoring water. God says, will you trust me? Will you take my hand? And will you remember that I'm not just like a loving parent, I'm like your perfect parent. Will you trust me? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. That's what he wanted you to remember before any other image he gives you of who God is. Jesus prayed the words we know that we just prayed together. Jesus prayed, God, you are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. And when Jesus prayed that, he remembered the teaching that God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts are not. And then Jesus knew there is an aspect of God that we can never get even close to, unknowability. But even then, here's what he prayed. This is just remarkable. He didn't pray just, God, you're in heaven, hallowed be your name. He prayed, our Father. In other words, we are connected to this creator of the universe as a child is connected to a parent. It's a remarkable teaching. You are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's a great story of Moses in the book of Exodus. Moses is up on the mountain. And God's giving him the Ten Commandments.
You can picture this because there was a good movie made about this.
And then Moses said what we all would say, God, I want to see your face, show me your glory. And God says, you can't see my face, for man shall never see me and live. And there's this picture of a God who we will never truly understand in this life. But then Jesus prays this. That same God is our Father. That same creator of the universe that turned his back on Moses and said, you'll never see my face, is your loving and most perfect parent. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember that when you're going through a whiteout, when you're separate from the sparkling water that will give you new life. All through the Bible, there is a connection with God and the people. God came to Abraham and there's dialogue. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your life and go into the promised land. And Abraham obeyed God. And then God spoke to Moses through the burning bush and said, I want you to go and free the people. And Moses, all through the Bible, God is in connection and in dialogue with people. And Jesus said, please remember that. Please remember that when you take this bread and this cup. And it was so important to the authors of the Bible that they put it right at the beginning of everything. That's why Jesus called God Father, because of what is in Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning of everything. In the beginning, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness hovered over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was there, over the waters. Aren't those incredible words? Just filled with awe, wonder, and mystery. This is the God that we can't even know. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that it was good, so beautiful and filled with mystery and wonder. And then God creates life and plants and land and sea creatures, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And then at the end, it said this. This is why Jesus called God Father. We're made in the image of that same unknowable, majestic, mysterious power. We're made in that image. We're children of God. And as the Bible story continues, because of this teaching that we are created in this image, God begins to be seen and known as a loving parent. Our Father who is in heaven is a Father. I'm going to tell a story. Just before that, I want to put a tag on this. I think people wonder sometimes, and it's unfortunate. We get caught up on things that I think sometimes people wonder about father as opposed to mother. That's why I wanted Linda to read this text. That in the Bible, God is referred to as mother over and over and over and over. Linda read a text. I'll show you a few more. Do I bring to the moment of birth and then not bring delivery? This is the word of the Lord. Do I close up my womb? Is that you talking, God? Yeah. It's a beautiful image of maternal love. Rejoice and be glad that I give birth to you, says God. All through the Hebrew scriptures, you were unmindful of the rock who gave birth to you. You forgot God who writhed and labored to bear you. Jeremiah, my womb groans for my beloved son, the people Israel. I will have motherly compassion on them. And then even Jesus, when Jesus is looking at Jerusalem and lamenting Jerusalem because Jerusalem has forgotten who the true God is, Jesus says, you killed the prophets, you stoned those who have been sent to you. And then he uses this motherly image. How often have I longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? You're not willing. Jesus uses an image for his love for people as a maternal love. Here's what Jesus called God, Abba. Jesus spoke Aramaic. He didn't speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic. The two letters AB is the root of the Aramaic word for father. And AB just on its own, Ab, means father, but a father that is distant, a loving father, but kind of a benevolent dictator, a father that you can never really get to know, like a good judge, but someone who's not there. But Jesus didn't pray Ab, who art in heaven. He prayed Abba. And what Abba is the translation for Abba is more appropriately, and you know this, daddy than father. That's the translation of Abba. It's daddy. Jesus uses as Abba, and the emphasis is not on the gender of God. The emphasis is on the intimacy that Jesus had with God. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember that I'm your perfect parent. And I know some of us didn't have good parents, and so the image of parents is not a good one for you. And those of us who are parents, we know how far we fall short. We know that we try our best, but so often we just fail as parents, and so often we just know that we should just be fired as parents. And so Jesus says, if you who are often weak as parents, if you know how to give good things to your children, even when we're weak in our parenting, we still love our kids and we still do so much for them. Jesus said, if you do that for your kids, what will God do for you? I want you to see God always as a parent of perfect love. And I want you to know that even if you're riding through a whiteout, or even if you're separated from the things that can restore you, I just want you to trust me as a parent. I want you to sleep in the back of the van and just trust me. And here's the story. Jesus was a storyteller. A pretty decent one at that. And the reason Jesus told stories is that we might see who God is. That's the whole reason Jesus ever told a story, that we might see who God is. I've told a few stories myself. And my reason for telling you stories from my personal life is that my hope is that you might see who God is through them. And so I leave you with a story. A few years back, it was the summer of 2013. I know it was 2013 because Kimberly and I just bought a brand new car that year. First time either of us have ever had a brand new car. Mazda 5. Kimberly's still driving it. Well, we got into that car with Haven and Madison, who went with us that summer. It was in the summertime. And we got into that car, and it had a beautiful new car smell, and we drove down to Orlando, Florida, to go to Disneyland. And all the way down, Kimberly and I were telling Haven and Madison about the rides at Disneyland and how great they are, the Country Bear Jamboree, and the Flight of Peter Pan, and the Pirates of the Caribbean, and the eternally classic ride, It's a Small World. And then we said, but the best ride of all is the Haunted House. Now, Madison was up for it, but Haven was not sure, because at Storybook Park in Owen Sound, that Haven frequented as a small child, they had a haunted house there. And it scared you. And Gina, you never went into that haunted house until much later. And so we were talking to Haven about this haunted house, and she was, and I said, no, it's fun. Like there is a room you go into, and this This voice says, look at the walls, the room's getting smaller and the ceiling starts coming down. And then you go on a ride and it takes you through a ballroom. And then you see ghosts dancing in that ballroom. And then the ride takes you into a cemetery that's in the attic of the old mansion. And you go around and there's bats. And I was describing the haunted house, but you just got more and more scared. And then when we got to Disneyland, we were walking toward this haunted house and I saw it, and it was just like I remembered when I was 10. It was huge and dark and gothic and really creepy looking. And we got in the line and Hayden said, I'm not gonna go in that haunted house. Like, she was genuinely scared. And we're standing in line beside a tombstone. And on the tombstone was a face of a grizzled old man with a top hat on. And we're standing there looking at it, and suddenly the face starts moving and the eyes open up. And you were genuinely frightened. She said, I don't want to go. You're crying. Hayden was little then. So I got down eye to eye level and I said, look, I'm your dad. This is your mom. Do you really think that we would lead you into anything that would hurt you? I want you to take my hand and trust me. I want you to know that I'm going to be by your side the whole time we're in that haunted house. I'm not leaving you. Look, this is your mom and dad here. You have to trust that we will not bring you into a dark place that's going to hurt you. And she summoned up her courage, didn't you?
Went in. Holding our hand.
And when she left out the back door after that ride was over, she said, that was the best ride I've ever been on. Best ride in Disneyland. Let's go again. Look, there are things that you all have to go into over the course of your life that are every bit as frightening as that haunted house was to Haven on that summer's day. There are uncertainties that you need to go into in your life. There are illnesses. There are broken relationships. There are just hard things. And God is just giving you a message that I want you to trust who I am. I want you to take my hand and know that I will always be by your side. And know that I am the perfect parent. And know that there's nothing that I'm going to let happen to you if you just trust me. So Jesus prayed, God, you're in heaven, you're hallowed, but you're our Father. And even more awesome than the unknowability and the majesty of infinity and of creation, even more awesome than that is your great love to each one of us. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. At this time, before we take communion, we take an offering together. So I'd just like to call the ushers to come forward and do that. And as we do, we say a prayer just before the offering.